I remember in the mid-90s, the CIA, they come out, and or maybe it was the Army, they announced that the psychic warfare program, Stargate program, remote viewing, all that's going away because I guess it was the CIA did some sort of supposedly independent evaluation, and they can't find any evidence that it was really working or worth it. And a bunch of congressmen and senators made fun of it as a waste of money, and so did commentators. What's the reality of that? What's your take on how effective that those techniques really are or were?
Well, I think, George, if you go back and you look at the Stargate documents, what you'll find is there's a lot of scientific research that was conducted. The program lasted for at least 25 years and probably, again, going back even before that into the 60s. And what they did discover was there is some kind of anomaly. It shows up in the data, and no matter how hard the skeptics tried to destroy that anomaly, you know, by claiming it really didn't prove anything, the anomaly still showed up in the data. And so they really kind of just washed their hands of it and said, well, there's something going on here, but it could be, you know, something other than psychic phenomena. We really don't know what it is, and it's really, you know, not important to pursue it. But there are rumors going around, and there have been for a while, that there are still government agencies involved in doing psychic research and in remote viewing, for example. And one of the rumors that we heard came from an author who is well known for his research into the JFK assassination, and that's a guy named Gus Russo. And he came across with a rumor he had heard from one of his sources who is familiar with NSA, and they are saying that there's some kind of psychic program at NSA or that's being sponsored still by NSA, and it ran into a few problems. And what was really interesting to me was the problem they supposedly had is when they were trying to remote view foreign targets, which would be intelligence targets, they came across with some kind of a extraterrestrial interference, is the way they described it, something out there that was blocking them from doing the remote viewing.
Well, I've heard that many times from some people that you know who were involved in the program from the beginning, and they have told me repeatedly that at every stage of the program they keep running into this stuff, saucers and other beings, and it's not that they go looking for them; it's just that they find them out there.
And that's something too. You know, if you can go to the Stargate files, you'll actually find documents from the 1980s where they were actually trying to remote view these supposedly these alien beings and kind of get an idea of what they were. And I think it was Ed Dames, who I know is a guest on the show fairly often. He was one of the intelligence officers, I believe, with that program. And there's a document in the Stargate files with little sketches of aliens with big heads and descriptions of their location in the solar system and different bases on planet Earth. So we know that a lot of this was going on. And, of course, I'm sure a lot of it wasn't taken seriously. But it's proof, at least, that the government has been doing this, and the government did produce this research.
So in 1995, they closed down the Stargate program. You suspect that maybe it just went deeper into the black world and kept going.
I think it's possible that there were some programs left over, and there's documents in the files that do suggest that there's other programs that aren't really in the release documents, programs called Phoenix, which seems to be something to do with remote influencing or the ability to affect someone's decision-making process. And that was something the Russians were heavily into at the time.
Well, that would come in handy if you could do that.
It certainly would.
tell me this. You know, I haven't read all those documents. You have. Tell our listeners, give us some examples, I mean, concrete stuff to show how useful these techniques can be. Because I remember when that report came out and there was one CIA guy who sort of, you know, who reviewed the program, talked about the evidence, the evidence that had been released in public. I guess a lot of the stuff was still classified and he didn't get to see it. But you can't count on this stuff. It's not reliable, and they just kind of dismissed it. But I know in talking to privately to people who were much more familiar with the program that they said the results and some of these experiments were just astonishing.
Well, they did have several experiments that, you know, they call them, I think, like seven martini results. You know, there were experiments where they would be so accurate they could describe events happening in real time. And I don't know if you know Dr. Kit Green, who was with the program in the beginning when CIA was funding the research at SRI. And recently he did an interview online with a website called Reality Uncovered. And in that interview, he describes an incident where he was in his home and a remote viewer described to him exactly what was happening in his home from several thousand miles away. And so there were these kind of remote viewing experiences they had, but they didn't happen very often. They were kind of the rare experiences that they really couldn't put their fingers on and narrow down what was going on. But it was enough to keep them interested for 25 years.
What do you know about, for example, using those techniques, remote viewing, in searching for bad guys, terrorists, suspects that we want to bomb, that kind of thing?
Well, we know for sure that that was done. In fact, you know, in the 1990s, they were still remote viewing targets, for example, during the first Gulf War. They were making predictions as to when the attack would take place, weather conditions, things like that. And there's documents that describe predictions of terrorist incidents or terrorist attacks coming, true later on. After the war, and including like attacks in London and New York. But it's very general, and that was the problem really with the program, was they could get results that were interesting, but they couldn't get the kind of information that was what they would call actionable. It wasn't information they could act on as intelligence. But it was still intriguing, and they really wanted to figure out a way to improve on that.
Wasn't there some case where they used remote viewing to sort of help identify where a kidnapped general was, maybe in Italy, something like that?
There was a case where they were looking for a general, I think it was General Dozier.
Dozier, yeah.
And he was, he had been kidnapped, and they were trying to locate him, and they did come up with some information that was relevant to his location. I believe he was being kept in a tent. And so when they were looking at the remote viewing data, it didn't make any sense to him until after he had actually been released.
Okay, so you start looking into this stuff. How soon after you start poking around do you sort of get in contact with what we would call spooks?
Well, the spooks are really out there on the Internet, and that's another whole story in itself. It's probably fairly well known that the Internet is a hotbed of activity for intelligence gathering. And some of the spooks like to partake in forums and discussion groups. A lot of private email exchanges go on where the spooks are in the background, and occasionally will pop in and make a comment or two.